Today we have a guest speaker, and we have been speaking about Brother Lambert over the last few weeks. And, you know, I got acquainted with Brother Lambert's ministry and him through a book, that his most recent book. And before you ask and say, well, does he have his books with him? He does not have any with him. But he's happy to direct you to Amazon, and I frequent Amazon quite often looking for books. And so anyway, I got acquainted a little bit with his ministry through his most recent book, and right away I sent him an email. He was very gracious to get right back with me. I discussed the possibility about him coming here to Calvary, and he immediately accepted the invitation. And so he is here today. He is going to be bringing a message from the Word of God, and I've been privileged to sit through the 9 a.m. service and hear what he has to say, and I believe I believe God has something to say to us this morning that will help each and every one of us today. And so you so graciously each week, you so graciously and respectfully listen to me. I appreciate that, and I know that you're going to offer that same grace and consideration to our guest today, right? I know you will. Thank you so much for that. Would you give a warm welcome to Dr. Heath Lambert?
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here with you. Let me ask you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, we'll be looking at verses 11 to 14. And while you're turning there in your Bibles, I want to tell you a story about a man I know named Josh. That's not his real name, but we'll call him Josh. And Josh came to meet me several years ago as a 20-year-old young man. He was a college student who was attending college in Louisville, Kentucky, away from his hometown. And he came to me for help with a problem with pornography. He'd been struggling with this problem for as long as he could remember. Didn't remember when he had started. His parents had a computer that had access to the internet. His parents didn't even know what pornography was. They didn't know what his friends were telling him at school about where he could find pornography online. And so they were oblivious as he used their computer for those purposes. They were oblivious as he grew up and got his own computer in his room and would sit behind the closed door and spend hours every day looking at pornography. He became a Christian, had a profession of faith in his middle teens, and as he moved away to college and began to continue this struggle with pornography, he went to the pastors at his church and he said, "I've got this problem with pornography. I look at it all the time." He'd lost jobs because he'd stay up through the night looking at pornography and couldn't get into work the next day, and that happened repeatedly. He was in trouble in school for the same reason, and he was increasingly aware that his lust for porn was at odds with his commitment to Jesus Christ. And so he went to his church leadership and he said, "I need help." And they said, "Well, can't look at pornography." And he said, "I know." And they said, "Well, let's pray about this." And they prayed with him, and they gave him some scripture, and they sent him to an accountability group, a group of men in the church. And he met with them faithfully every week. Several weeks later, the leadership of the church came back and said, "How's it going?" He said, "I'm still looking at pornography." They said, "You can't look at pornography." And they prayed with him, and they read the Bible with him, and they encouraged him to continue to be diligent with the accountability group. And this kept happening over weeks and over months. And finally, after dozens of these kinds of conversations, the accountability group of which he was a part and the leadership at his church decided that he was not a believer. They said, "You're a Christian, and Christians have God's power to be different and to overcome sin, and you're not overcoming sin. And so we don't think you're a Christian." And he came to me after that and met with me in my office and said, "I need help." And this man was full of despair because he wanted to be different, and yet he had this problem that he couldn't overcome. And he said, "I need help." And he was overwhelmed because he trusted his leadership at the church, and he was concerned that maybe he wasn't a believer. And that story illustrates to you two crises that I think are affecting the church today. The first crisis is the crisis of internet pornography. It is a problem everywhere. It's actually the greatest moral threat the church has ever faced. We are in the midst of a fight to the death over this huge problem that is plaguing us. It's the greatest moral threat because sexual immorality has always been a problem. There was always adultery. There was always fornication. Even ancient cultures had their own peculiar varieties of pornography. But in the last 50 years, with the onslaught of audiovisual technology, in the last 10 to 15 years, with the onslaught of digital technology, pornography is becoming an increasing problem. 50 years ago, 30 years ago, if you wanted pornography, you had to walk into a store and ask somebody for it. You had to overcome any kind of shame you felt to ask about it. But now with the internet, it's all different. You can go in your bedroom or your home office, shut the door, lock it, spend as much time as you want looking at pornography and come out, erase your internet history, and nobody knows for a while. So we're experiencing a moral cancer in the church that is slowly killing us. And the second crisis is nobody knows what to do. Nobody knows how to help. Pastors, church members, Christian friends, they don't know what to say to the Joshes of the world, some of whom are sitting in this room right now. They don't know what to say. As a matter of fact, it became clear that Josh was a believer in Jesus Christ, but he was not interacting with people who knew how to lay hold of the graces of Christ to help him overcome those problems. And so I want to talk today to two kinds of people. I want to talk to the people in this room who are struggling with pornography. And you're here. And I want to help. I care about you, and I want to help. And then I want to talk to those of you in this room who do not struggle with pornography, but who would like to help those who do. I would love for this church to be a church that is full of people who have words of life for people who are in a fight to the death with a struggle that tempts to overwhelm. And I think we get a lot of help about each of these two crises in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. There's a lot more to say about pornography than we'll talk about today. Just as your pastor mentioned, wrote a book about this called Finally Free, Fighting for Purity with the Power of Grace. And every chapter is an exposition of Scripture and a practical application about how to take the next step towards purity. But we can't talk about all that this morning, so we'll take these few verses and say what they say and be done. But this is what God's Word says in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word, we confess to you that it is perfect. And we would ask that you would help we flawed people to be able to understand something as glorious as what you've written here for us. Would you pour out your Spirit on us so that we could understand what he has inspired in your word, and so that we could have the power to obey and believe what is in these verses. Father, I pray for change here this morning. I pray for the people who are struggling with pornography right now. They're nervous because I'm praying about them. Father, I pray the power of the gospel would lead to change in their life. Father, I pray for the rest of us that this would become a church that knows how to help those people so that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ would shine forth in a culture full of darkness and depravity. Father, watch over us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. These two crises that I'm talking about have to be addressed. I have to talk about it. I'm so thankful for this church and your leadership and their willingness to talk about a problem that not many people want to talk about. And as we face these two crises, I think we need to fight it with two conflicts. So I want to talk about two conflicts. And the first conflict is what I'm going to call the short, easy battle. And the second conflict is what I'm going to call the long, hard war. So as we come at this problem, there's things that we need to do that are easy and quick, and we can do it relatively simply, and then there's a long-term war that we need to be willing to fight. And both conflicts need an understanding of two things. First, the conflicts each need an understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're going to wage the fight in each of these two conflicts, we need the gospel of Jesus Christ. This passage that we read does something that the Bible loves to do. And it compares sin and righteousness to darkness and light. The darkness here is what verse 13 refers to as walking improperly, or orgies, drunkenness, sexual immorality and sensuality, quarreling and jealousy. Those are the works of darkness that characterize the nighttime. And the Bible says that as Christians, we are to wake from that. The text says the time has come to wake from sleep. It says salvation has been brought near. And so now, as salvation has come to us, we live in the broad daylight of the salvation of Jesus Christ. And so this command that comes to us in verse 12, to cast off the works of darkness and to put on the armor of light, there's something amazing about that command. And here's what's amazing about it. It's possible. It's possible. You have to be shocked by that. Because in your sin, in your own strength, it's not possible for you to do good things. It's not possible for you to cast off the works of darkness. But Jesus has come. He's brought salvation near. And now you don't have to sin. You can live in righteousness. What is true for the Christian is true for nobody else. And that is, you're not enslaved to sin. And here's what that means for this problem. You don't have to look at porn. You don't have to look at pornography. In Christ, you're free. And this is a fight to believe this. When you look at porn, and when you don't look at porn, you believe something. So my friend Josh, he says what a lot of people say. He says, I have to look at porn. I have to. And I say, no, you don't. And he says, you don't understand. I have to look at porn. And I say, Romans 13, no, you don't. Now, it might be hard not to look at porn. It might be a real struggle, and nobody's waving the banner that it's easy, but the banner is Christ has come, and light and hope and power are available to you. In Christ, it's yours. It's been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, this is a huge deal, because, make no mistake, some of you in here know this, pornography is powerful. And when it grabs your throat, it can pull you like nothing else can. And the reality is that if you're going to break free of its hold on you, you have to have more power. You have to have power that is more powerful than the power of pornography, and the power is Jesus has come. He's brought light and power to you, and you don't have to sin. So both conflicts require that, and both conflicts require an understanding of the three things that when they come together, you will look at pornography every time. If you are anonymous, if porn is available, and if you have an appetite for it, you will look at pornography every time. Every time. You can't stop it if those three things are together. If you're anonymous, if it's available, and if you have an appetite for it. So I want you to imagine an awful room that's full of pornography. That's the room we live in, by the way. We live in that room. We live in a world full of pornography. You're in a room full of pornography. It's available, and there's nobody in that room with you. So you're anonymous, and you want it. You'll stay in that room from now on looking at pornography. But if you change any one of those three factors, you won't look at it. So there is a room full of pornography, but the door is closed and locked. Nobody's around, and you want it, but you can't get in through the locked door. It's not available, so you can't look. Another scenario, you're in the room, you want it, but Pastor Van is in there with you. You won't look, because you're not anonymous. Another scenario, you're in the room, nobody's in there with you, but you don't want it. You won't look. You take away any of the three factors, and you will not look at pornography. But when all three of them are there, you will. And we need to use that reality to help ourselves and to help those the Lord sends our way to fight and win these two conflicts. So let me talk about each conflict. And let me talk first about the short, easy battle. The short, easy battle is in verse 14, the last part of verse 14. It says, to make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This is so practical, so helpful. This is just half a verse of the Bible, just half the verse, and it's so full of practical material for you to use in a struggle against pornography. And here's what it does. It invites us to do two things. It invites us to consider all of the ways that we make provision for the flesh. This could be with a struggle with pornography or with gossip or with lying or anything. But we're supposed to consider all the ways that we make provision for the flesh. And then the second thing it encourages us to do is to get rid of those opportunities. Can't get rid of the opportunities if you don't know where they are. So first, where do I make provision for the flesh? Second, I have to work to end those opportunities. So this is so practical. Because most people, when they look at pornography, they just feel badly about it. They feel like a jerk. They feel dirty. They feel like a loser. Oh my goodness, if my wife finds out, I'm in trouble. If my husband finds out, I'm in trouble. If my kids find out, they're going to think I'm a creeper. If my parents find out, they're going to think I'm a loser. And we just torture ourselves with those thoughts. But this passage urges us to get away from that sort of torturous thinking and start thinking practically about how to eliminate our opportunities to look. And so this short, easy battle urges us to pay attention to the anonymity of pornography and the availability of pornography. Short, easy battle. Remove the anonymity of pornography. Don't live in the dark. Don't do this in secret. Sin thrives in the darkness. Sin needs to be private in order for it to work. So we have these rocks in our backyard, and it's been rainy and wet the last couple of weeks, and my two boys love to go out in the backyard and pull these rocks up. And you know what's under there? Nastiness, right? Mud and pill bugs and worms. And as soon as you pull that rock up and the light hits it, what does all that stuff do? It goes away. Worms go down in holes. Pill bugs run towards the grass. It clears it out. Because darkness, filth, let's say it this way, filth festers in the darkness and the light clears it up. Don't struggle anonymously. You have to tell someone. There's people in this room and you're struggling. And you're thinking, this guy's going to help me. I'm going to take good notes and it's going to be all better. And it's not going to happen. If your plan is to fix yourself in private, God's not going to honor that. God wants you to expose the darkness to the light. So you have to tell somebody. It's going to feel like eating a thumbtack sandwich. It's you're going to think it's the hardest thing you've ever done. But when you do that hard thing, and Jesus will give you grace to do it, it is the thing, while you're doing it, while you're suffering through the pain of the confession, I can tell you, in that moment you will feel the grip of sin being loosened on you. So tell somebody. And don't just tell somebody you have some vague struggle, oh yeah, I have this kind of problem with porn. But you need to be open and honest about when you struggle, where you struggle, how you struggle, so that the person who would help you have some idea about where to help you make no provision for the flesh. One of the killer realities about this verse for somebody like me, who wants to help people like this, is I don't have a say-so in who comes to me and who doesn't. If you struggle, I don't get to decide whether you ask for help. That's between you and Jesus Christ. And so for those of us who would like to help, I'll just say, here's the best thing we can do. We need to be the kind of people who make it easy for folks to come to us and ask us for help. And that means we need to be open and honest about our own struggles. We need to be approachable, kind folks. We need to be the kind of people who, when people look at us, they sense that we have things to say that would be helpful to them in their struggle. We need to create a kind of culture in our churches where it's okay to sin and be honest about it. It's not okay to sin and live in the dark. But it's okay to sin and be honest about it. We all have our stories to tell of sin. We all need each other to work this out. You're not in trouble when you sin and ask for help. That's the kind of culture we need to foster here. Tell somebody today. Could I just plead with you to tell somebody today? It'll be hard, but Jesus will give you grace to do it. And when you do the hard thing, you'll be on the road to change. The short, easy battle requires removing anonymity. It also requires removing the availability. We got to get rid of our opportunities to see pornography. People tend to look at porn in the same places and in the same ways. By my calculation, there are about three ways that people can get pornography. You can get it in a store. So if you struggle with pornography, or you're helping someone who does and they get it in a store, maybe they get it at an adult bookstore. These euphemisms are terrible, by the way. Adult bookstore, gentleman's club. Where did we start calling these establishments adult and gentleman? But maybe you get it in a pornographic bookstore. Maybe you go to a family. Down the road from us, there's a place called Family Video with a huge pornographic section in the back, if you can imagine. But whether you get it from a store either of the rental variety or of the purchasing variety, you need to end your ability to watch what you would get. And so you need to ask for help, or you need to be the kind of help that would give over the DVD player that you'd use to watch it. Give over the computer with the DVD player that you'd use to watch it. You need to give up some freedom that you have to hide what you would purchase. So if you're tempted to get magazines, we've had people in our church that have said, here's a key to my apartment. Here is a key to my car. And I want you to come over whenever you want and do a spot inspection. If you're a child who's struggling, you need to say to dad and mom, come in my bedroom anytime you want. And if you're dad and mom, you need to not wait for the invitation to come in the bedroom anytime you want. So get rid of your ability to watch it and get rid of your ability to keep it. Those are a couple things that you can do for folks who struggle with buying it in a store. Another way you can get it is by watching it on TV, pay-per-view, that kind of thing, or watching it on the internet. So you access it electronically. If that's the case, there ought to be no such thing as a computer that you use or an iPad that you use that does not have passwords and administrator privileges. This ought to be the case anyway. We ought not to have computers in our homes that aren't password protected with administrator privileges. Even if you don't think your kids are having a problem, and maybe they really aren't, you don't know what their friends are looking at when they come over to your house. You don't know what extended family are looking at when they come over to your house. We ought to not have devices like this in our home without passwords and without administrator privileges. And the password needs to be harder to guess than what you might imagine it would be. It shouldn't be your name written backwards or something like that. We need accountability software. For people that struggle, this is why I say this is the quick, easy battle. When people come to me and say, I look at pornography on the internet, I say, when they leave in 4 hours, I want to get an email from Covenant Eyes or Be Safe that you have installed that software on your computer and I'm your accountability partner so I can see what you're looking at on the internet and so that the bad stuff is blocked. We need blocking software and reporting software. It's not hard. I mean, you can do this relatively quickly with a relative amount of ease, and that's why I say it's the quick, easy battle. A third way you can get pornography is from someone else's stash. Most of the guys I know who are talking with me about their problem with pornography, you know how they got introduced to it? Their dad. And this doesn't make you wince. I don't know what will. I don't know how to tell you the number of men I know who got introduced to pornography because they found dad's magazines under the bed or in the underwear drawer or they saw it in the history on the internet browser. I also know people who are using granny's computer to look at pornography. Their granny doesn't even know there's such a thing as pornography. She's never heard of it. If she thought you could get it on a computer, she wouldn't have bought the computer. But she bought it, and it's in her basement, and when the grandkids come over, they use it to look at porn. If you're using someone else's stash to look at porn, or if you're helping someone who is, the best thing to do is have them confess that to the person they're getting it from. With this caveat, be careful. Because this is a very relationally complicated thing. You can have dads get real upset. You can have grandmas get really upset. And we need to figure out how to handle that. But one of the options is just to be honest and confess, hey, I'm using your computer. Could you please close it up for me? Put passwords on it and whatever else. The short, easy battle is removing the anonymity and the availability of pornography. But here is the dirty little secret about the short, easy battle. It won't change you. It will not change you. If Pastor Van puts a deadbolt lock on that door full of pornography and he stands there with you, you're still not different. You're just not doing what you want to do. A Christian writer writing about 400 years ago said a dog on a chain is still a dog. You can chain up your lust, but at the end of the day, it's still lust. It's just chained up. And as soon as the chain's gone, it'll run around like a crazy fool. We got to do more than the short, easy battle. We got to fight the long, hard war. And the long, hard war is where we change our appetite. Where we don't want pornography anymore. And here's the bad news about the long, hard war, about changing your appetite, is you can't do it. You can't change your heart. You can't fix it so that you want purity instead of impurity. You can't fix it so that the only person that you want to see naked is your spouse. rather than a pornographic harem. You can't fix it. But you know somebody who can. And his name is Jesus Christ. And Jesus can change your heart so that you could be in that room full of pornography with nobody around and you would rather be dead than look because it would dishonor your Christ. Jesus can do that. He can. And so, the long, hard war in the battle against pornography is to encounter Jesus Christ. This is verse 14, the first part. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So, verse 13 is not in orgies, not in drunkenness, not in sexual immorality, not in sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but something else, but Jesus. Put him on. The real battle in the Christian life is not about the junk you try to quit doing, but is about the glorious things you try to embrace. I always say that if you told me that for the rest of my life I was going to have a ministry merely of getting people to quit looking at pornography, I couldn't take it. I don't want that job. I do not want the job where I just try to get you to not look at pornography. But if you say your job is to get people to behold Jesus Christ, if your job is to get people to so be fixated with Jesus and His beauty and His glory and His grace and His grandeur and His perfection, so that when they see Him, they don't have room in their heart for anything else because they just want Him. Well, now that's exciting. Your struggle to fight against pornography, or your effort to help someone not look at pornography, needs to be somewhat about the short, easy battle. Let's live in the light. Let's remove the availability. But it far more needs to be about beholding Jesus Christ. We're talking about Jesus. We are taking people to the Bible, and we're showing them who Jesus is. This Christ who called to a man dead 3 days and he walked out of the grave. We're pointing to this Christ who says, come to me and I'll give you rest. We're pointing people to this Christ who says, I say only what the Father gives me to say. We're pointing people to passages in the Bible where we see Jesus Christ spilling his blood out for your sins and for mine. We're pointing people to the Bible and showing them Jesus. We're pointing people to prayer. And we're having them encounter Jesus in prayer. Let me tell you what. When you get to a situation where you're aware of a temptation to look at pornography, and instead of plotting and planning and strategizing about how you can get alone for 15 minutes to look, instead of that, if you begin to pray, Lord, help. You've turned the corner. You have. The battle's not over yet. You might still have battles left to fight in the war, but you've turned the corner. If you pray when you're tempted and ask this powerful Christ to help you, He will do it. Listen, if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, He would never not help you. He doesn't even know how to do it. He doesn't know how to not help His child that asks Him for help in faith. He will help you. And we need to help people sing about Jesus Christ. We are wired. God built you and me so that singing ignites our affections. This is why there's 150 chapters of the Bible that are inspired songs. This is why songs are quoted throughout the Old and the New Testament. Because God built you so that singing does something to electrify your passions. You cannot look at pornography while singing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. You can't do it. You have to stop doing one to do the other. In our counseling, we don't want people to look at porn. I don't want people to look at porn ever again. If you put every computer in a dumpster and the internet was dead and we couldn't use it anymore and it was illegal to do it, I'd be a happy camper. But if there's no porn, we still have a problem. And that is that people still need a Savior, Jesus. And so the main thing we need to do is be the kind of church, be the kind of individuals who aren't merely defined by the fact that we don't look at porn, but that our hearts overflow with singing to the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're tempted to look at porn, and when you're talking to somebody who's tempted to look at porn, tell them to sing. Tell them to start singing right then. Our churches will be full of purity and protected from pornography when from the bottom of our hearts we learn how to sing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace." You win the battle against pornography not by what you don't look at, but by the Savior that you're obsessed with. And there's no room in your heart for anything but songs about him. Let's pray. Father in heaven, purify your church. Sanctify your people. Protect us from sin. And cause us to sing about Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.